Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Here are words of hope. Here are words for a future. All of us need hope. It's often said, without hope we die. Today we're going to learn that God has plans for us. Future and a hope. I've called this message, Plans of a Future and a Hope.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Do you believe that God has a purpose and plans for your life? Do you believe that His ways are better than your own? Today on The Verdict, we're in Jeremiah chapter 29, looking at this famous passage and discussing God's purposes and plans for His people. Now, continuing our study in the book of Jeremiah, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson.
Last time we looked at one of the best-known verses in Jeremiah, and a favorite of many people. What's the verse? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But last time we looked at the context of these verses and saw the need for repentance in our lives. And right after the wonderful verse of God having plans for us, we read that we're to call upon the Lord and come and pray to Him, and He will hear us. We're to seek Him with all of our heart. Then He will be found by us. So if you're claiming the verse, read the following verses as well and ask yourself if you are seeking the Lord. Jeremiah is not the best known book in the Bible, but arguably the verses that we're going to look at particularly are well known to us. Some of you have memorized these verses, but I'd like us to stand and read them. I'm referring to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. So let's stand and read the word of God together. Read with me, please. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Amen. Please be seated. Now we've got to think of the context here of the words that we have just read in Jeremiah chapter 29. So in 597 BC, around 3,000 Jews are taken captive to Babylon. So as we come into chapter 29, which is our chapter this morning, we read in verse 1, to get the context, Jeremiah 29, verse 1, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. But in among the exiles are some false prophets. And they're saying that Babylon will soon fall. They're saying that the exiles will shortly return. And Jeremiah writes this letter warning the exiles not to listen to the false prophets. We'll read that in a minute in verses 8 and 9. The exiles, rather, should claim the promise of God that restoration will come. God has His plans. God has His future for Israel, and they need to seek the Lord to understand God's plans. God has His plans. To live a God-centered life, we, as Israel had to do, have to acknowledge that the plans are God's, not ours. I realize we have our plans, we have our ambitions, we have our dreams, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that our future, this hope that we want, this peace, this welfare, must be according to the will and the purposes of God. Notice verse 11, of Jeremiah 29 that we read. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God is saying to the people, I have plans for you. What were the plans? What was the future for the exiles of Babylon? Live a God-centered life with humble repentance. What's going to give them hope? After 70 years of captivity, God in His grace will bring them back to the promised land. You say, well, this is ancient history, John. Yes, it is ancient history, but it's more than that. It's the living word of God. And if we're going to live a God-centered life, if you're going to live a God-centered life, let me say the obvious. You must follow God's plans for you. Do you believe that God has plans and purposes for your life? I'm asking you personally. Do you believe that these plans and purposes that God has are better than your own ideas? Stop opposing God. Stop going against the commandments of God. Stop. Seek the Lord. You say, well, I'm not sure if He'll be found. Yes, He will. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, He will be found of you. Scripture is telling us that. Seek the Lord daily. That's what we're to do, and He will be found by us. And the exiles, what were they to do when they were in Babylon? They were to live for God. Let me read from chapter 29, verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles. This is what God is saying to the exiles in Babylon. Whom I have sent. God's behind it. Whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. What are they to do? Verse 5, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Verse 7, but seek, this is surprising, isn't it? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. As the people of God, we are to live for God in the present where we are. And we are, I think some of us are forgetting this in our society today, we're to seek the welfare of the community where we live. We're to seek the welfare of our nation where we live. You say, well, I don't like where our nation is going. I don't like where it's going either. Jeremiah didn't like what Babylon was doing, but we are to serve the Lord where we are, where you work. You work for the Bank of America. You work for Atrium. You work for Novant. You work for a particular company. You live in a particular school. You're part of a housing association. What are you to do? Try and undermine that company? Absolutely not. You're to seek its welfare. No, you don't always agree with its policies and its practices. Neither did Daniel. And when the time came, they stood firm. They were firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't compromise, but at the same time, they helped the community where they are. Students, you're wondering about God's will for you. You're going off to UNC or CPCC or Florida State. You're wondering God's will for you. I'm going to tell you what God's will for you is. You're a student. Study. Quite amazing, isn't it? There's a thought. Whoa, I'm a student. I'm going to study? Yes. You've got to seek the welfare of that college, of that university, of that new employment situation. Don't laze around. Don't waste your time. Don't be a party animal. Don't cheat. Don't plagiarize. Shine for Jesus Christ and study and live in that college, in that university, in that place of employment. Shine for Jesus Christ and make a difference. Don't just blend in. Live today, wherever you are, for the glory of God. Work honestly, enthusiastically. That's all the mums and dads who are paying for your college. But work honestly, enthusiastically, and faithfully all of us, to the glory of God where we are. Don't undermine the company where you're there. If you think it's not God's will for you, resign and serve somewhere else. But it isn't very Christian, is it, for people to be working and always complaining where they work? Seek the welfare of those around you, in your community. Display the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful where you are. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Build houses, plant gardens, get involved. Seek the welfare of Babylon, for in its welfare is your welfare. Live for the Lord where you are today. Now you say, well, how do I know God's will? Well, we follow the will revealed in the Word of God, not the pagan contemporary society. We don't take our drum beat from the company where we work or from our society or from the government. We take it from the Word of God. And Jeremiah is warning the exiles not to listen to the false prophets and dreamers. Verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 29, we began reading at verse 10, but look at verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it's a lie that they're prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. There were false prophets. There was this man Hananiah who was saying the Babylonian captivity would last only 2 years. Wrong. There was Shemaiah, the false prophet, who's contradicting Jeremiah, as you can read in chapter 29 later in the passage. Jeremiah is saying there are false prophets. We've heard that before in Jeremiah. It was an appalling thing. It was a horrible thing that was going on in the land, Jeremiah is saying. Your prophets are prophesying falsely. Your priests are ruling at their own direction. And he says, my people love to have it so. And that's where we are today, aren't we? There's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of false teaching. The Apostle Peter says, refers to false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. False teaching within the Christian community. Yes, there's all kind of error out there, but even within the Christian community, there's a lot of false teaching, isn't there? We have the rise today, more and more, you may have heard about it, of self-professed apostles. People who are calling themselves an apostle. It's like as if I came here and said, well, I had a God woke me up at 2:30 a.m. and I am the Apostle John. It's got a certain ring to it. Why would you laugh? I'm an apostle. Then there's these prophets. God told me to tell you. False prophets. Do you know how you identified an apostle? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12 talks about the signs and the wonders and the mighty works that accompanied the apostles. There was no question that Peter was an apostle. If you can raise the dead, if I can present you with a man of 40 who's been blind from birth and you can give him sight, you can call yourself an apostle. If we take you to Magnolia Cemetery and someone has been dead for 3 days and you raise that person from the dead, then you can call yourself an apostle. But don't be deceived. Why is it that we as followers of Christ, instead of reading the scripture, we fall for the latest bestseller, somebody on YouTube, somebody who produces a book, someone who comes with some crazy statement about what's going to happen to America, and many people believe it. Don't. That's not God's will. How do we know God's will? Read the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, and as you seek the Lord with all of your heart, God is well able to guide you in the paths that He will have for you. Live for the Lord where you are today. Do that, and secondly, trust the Lord for the future. That's what Jeremiah is saying. That's what I'm saying to you. Today, live for the Lord. Live a God-centered, Christ-centered life. What about the future? Don't worry about the future. Trust the Lord for the future. Jeremiah, what is the future? And it's for not for evil, it's for your welfare, it's for shalom, it's a hope. And although they were disobedient, although they were judged by God and taken captive, God had not rejected his people and never will he reject his people. The promises of the Abrahamic covenant and his prophets stood. If they repented, if they sought the Lord with all of their heart, he would be found of them. And after 70 years of exile in Babylon, they would return to the land. And if you know your Bible, you know that is historical fact. He has plans for you, for your welfare, not for evil. Do you think God has got evil plans for you? Do you think if you seek the Lord with all of your heart, God's going to play some trick on you? God's plans are not for evil. They're for your good. They're for welfare. They're of plans of hope. Our God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's patient and forgiving. And he hasn't rejected us because we've messed up. Yet, the message is this. If you continue to resist him, if you refuse to repent, judgment is coming. Isn't it wonderful to know as we follow Jesus Christ that we're people of hope, that the Lord has a future and a hope for us. Today, yes, this day. Today is a day of grace, a day of hope, a day of pardon, a day of forgiveness for you if you seek the Lord and call upon him. You're not excluded. How encouraging this is for each one of us. You may think you don't have much of a future. You may think you lack education. You may think you come from a difficult home. You may think that some devastating loss or disappointing situation has come into your life and you tend to give up and you look to the future and it seems very, very hopeless. Yes, perhaps it does, humanly speaking. I want you to look up. I want you to hear what Jeremiah is saying, that God has for you plans for welfare, for peace, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Forbes lists Madonna as the 45th richest self-made woman in the United States with an estimated wealth of $580 million. Not bad for singing. On January 17, she announced her celebration tour. It was meant to celebrate four decades of the music business. She was going to perform in 84 places around the globe. But many of you know that on June 24, Madonna developed a serious bacterial infection, which led to a stay in an ICU for several days. And she had to postpone this tour indefinitely. A couple of years ago, Madonna said this in an interview with Vanity Fair, quote, "All of my will has been to conquer some terrible feeling of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with that fear. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." Madonna, like so many, like the majority of us, I think, sees her identity, sees her future, sees her hope in terms of her own achievements, in terms of what Madonna has done. And humanly speaking, she's accomplished a lot. She's amassed $580 million, not bad. And yet she said, "I've struggled with this all my life." She's got to prove that she's somebody. You know, the wonderful news of the gospel is this. As we sung, all of the work has been done. I wish Madonna were here and I could say to this dear woman, listen, your hope and your future is not in your achievements and not having this wonderful tour where you're acclaimed by all the world, but your security, your future in life and beyond life is found in our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ, who has done it all. All of it is done. On the cross, he says, it's finished. And now in simple faith, each one of us, as we come humbly, as we turn from our sin and embrace the Savior, we realize that we are greatly, greatly loved. And that this God who in his grace saves John Monroe, has plans for John Monroe, and has a future, yes, an eternal future, because the promise of the gospel is that if you believe in the Son, you will have everlasting life. And there is no force in the universe, and there is no cancellation of any tour which can rob us from this identity that we are loved in Jesus Christ, and that we're eternally saved, and for all of eternity we will sing the praises of our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? I say to you, to those of you despairing, don't despair, don't give up. Trust the Lord for your future. Corrie ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I like that. In some sense, humanly speaking, all of our future is unknown. And some of you are anxious because of situations that have come into your life. A widow, someone who's received devastating news, and it's unknown, and you're fearful. Terry, Corrie ten Boom got it right. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know God? God's a good God. God's a gracious God. God will take care of you. God is with us all of the way. He has plans for us, a future and our hope, because our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again, and we have what the Bible calls this living hope. And if we call upon him, he will save us. Call upon him and he'll restore you. Call upon him today and he will lead you in the paths and the plans of righteousness for his name's sake. He's the master. We are the clay. Mold us. Make us. Trust him. Surrender your life to him completely. Do it. Do it now. Because our hope is in the Lord from this time and forevermore. Some of you have never called upon the name of the Lord and you're never saved. Will you do that now? Please, please. And have the promise of eternal life. To take God at his word. He said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and receive the gift of eternal life.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Plans of a Future and a Hope. There's more just ahead, but remember, you can always find these messages online at theverdict.org. On our website, you can also get your copy of John's special new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. This straightforward and insightful biblical guide will help you explore many key themes and lessons found throughout the book of Jeremiah. Israel had forgotten God, and Jeremiah was called to open their eyes to the hard truths of judgment and repentance. With so many parallels to our society today, don't miss the opportunity to get a biblical perspective on these important issues and questions. So don't wait. Request your free copy of John's booklet, When a Nation Forgets God, by going to our website at theverdict.org. And if you'd like to equip other listeners with solid biblical teaching and resources like these, we encourage you to partner with us and help The Verdict continue sharing these Bible lessons with new listeners around the world. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Simply go to theverdict.org or call us at 833-551-2231. And one other exciting update is our brand new YouTube channel we're producing for students titled Real Questions, Real Truth. In each episode, John sits down with a high school host to answer the tough personal and spiritual questions that so many students are facing. Just search for Real Questions, Real Truth on YouTube and choose subscribe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you seeking the Lord with all of your heart? There are many people who dabble in the Christian faith, but we're learning from Jeremiah 29 that we need to be serious and trust God for our future. This new life following God's plan begins when we obey the gospel. Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. Have you done that? If not, do it and follow God's plan for your future and a hope. Next time, we'll think of the wonderful subject of the new covenant.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.